Good morning. It's the 19th of December. Today and tomorrow I'm going to read to you from an exhortation by Brother Harry Tennant. This then is part one. I read. Job feels so sure that there is no cause attributable to his sufferings, and in one sense he is right. His problem is that he defends himself to the extent that he attributes blame to God, and there Job cannot be right. This causes Job to wish for a daysman between himself and God. This raises a very interesting subject, because in one sense it is the Bible-long question of law and grace. Look at some of the verses involved. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us, we read in chapter 9, verse 33. The margin renders daysman as umpire, meaning a referee or an arbitrator. Job felt this held the solution to his problem and would both silence his friends and put the position right with God. The word for daysman occurs in various forms in Job, and it is instructive to examine some of them. In chapter 13, verse 3, the word is translated reason. In 13, verse 15, maintain. 15, verse 3, reason again. And 16, verse 21, oh, that one might plead for a man with God. In these passages, the words reason and plead are all this word daysman. From all of these, it is clear that the meaning lies in seeking to be right by proof of argument, because one is sure of one's case. What Job learns at the end, and what we all know, because Scripture has made it abundantly plain, is that there is no future for us down that road. If God were to demand it, we would always lose our case. There is no one so righteous as he, always. We don't want a daysman. Conscience tells us that a daysman would find us in the wrong and God in the right. Job's friends were wrong because they singled Job out from the rest of them and made him the butt of their daysman arguing, without realising that all are guilty before God. But Job came to another solution which, however dimly he perceived it, or however clearly, is the real answer to the need of man. This is the everlasting comfort, the whole remedy. And what is more, it is provided by the one who could have insisted on the daysman, the arguer, the reprover, and who would have won every time. The book of Job appears to be one of the oldest books of the Bible. It is likely that Job lived around the time of Abraham. The age span, the mention of us which occurs in the book of Genesis, the absence of any mention of Israel or the law, all make the book look ancient, as well as the special uses of the names of God. Perhaps Job was more of a Gentile than a Jew. It is surprising, therefore, that Job uses another word in addition to daysman, and perhaps he is the first in all Scripture to use it. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Much as this section in chapter 19 varies from one translation to another, indicating that the translators had some difficulty with the Hebrew, the essential message comes through. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. That's from the RSV. The word Redeemer is Goel, the word which occurs time and again as the kinsman who redeems. Job has moved from the daysman and sees something of his need, even though he has not yet seen God as totally right. God willing, tomorrow we shall read more of this exhortation from my brother Harry. Thank you for listening.